It has been estimated that the average person speaks 16,000 words per day. How many do you say? Have you ever counted? You ever kept track of them? How many? 16,000 words per day. Now, there's other studies that would show that men speak more words than women. Does that surprise you? Some of you are shaking your head and saying that's not true. Some of you have some talkative husbands, apparently. But the average man typically speaks, or the average woman typically speaks more words than a man, but some men are not so average. Some men are above average, especially on Sundays. They get all their words out on Sunday and they don't have any words left for the rest of the week. But when you think about how many words do you speak? How many conversations do you have in a day? If you speak about 16,000 words in a day, how many conversations are involved in that? And you consult your friend Google and you'll find a whole lot of different answers to that. But it's estimated we have a couple, two or three dozen conversations every day. Do you think it would be important in the midst of those conversations that we are having and the thousands of words that we are speaking every day, do you think it'd be important to use the right words in those conversations? Do you think it'd be right inside your home to use the right words? Do you think it'd be right in your workplace to use the right words when you have those conversations? Would you say, depending on how many conversations you have in a day, would you say that some of those conversations are more important than others? If you are married, you better say yes. Some of those conversations are more important than others. So then it's even more important that you get the right words. You know, there's some conversations, like a conversation that parents may have with their children. Those are important conversations. Conversations that parents may have with their adult children, or conversations that adult children may have with their adult parents, if that makes sense. Those are important conversations. Conversations that individuals may have in the workplace, if there's been conflict in the workplace or conflict in the neighborhood. And if you've got an HOA, you know about conflict in the neighborhood. So it would be important to have the right words when you are involved in those conversations. Is it important to have the right words and conversations inside the church? When brothers and sisters in Christ are talking to each other, when Titus chapter 2 talks about the older women teaching the younger women, is it important that we use the right words? When some brother or sister has caused us to really struggle, when the Bible talks about a brother or sister in Christ sinning against us, and we go to talk to them alone, is that a conversation, an important conversation, where we make sure that we use the right words? There are a whole lot of times in our life where it is important that we understand that we need wise counsel. That when we are giving counsel, when we are talking to someone else, when we are giving advice to someone else, that we offer wise counsel. And of course, when we ask somebody else for advice, when we ask somebody else for input, we would like to have some wise counsel. And so as I've thought about the last few weeks, about the need for giving and receiving wise counsel, it's interesting, I started making some notes on the... You shouldn't do this while you're driving, but I was making notes as I was driving a few weeks ago, just trying to come up with what are some key things that we need to know about giving and receiving wise counsel. But then this last week, I thought, you know what? Forget those notes. What does the book of Proverbs say about this? Johnny, before he read from Proverbs chapter 4, called this the book of wisdom, and it truly is the book of wisdom. The Bible says that Solomon wrote 3,005 Proverbs. Well, they're not all here in the book of Proverbs, but that's a lot of Proverbs. You want some wisdom this morning? I don't want to share with you David's ideas about giving and receiving wise counsel. I want you to open your Bible with me today, and we're just going to spend time inside the book of Proverbs. And we're going to allow the book of Proverbs to share some wisdom with us on how can we give and receive wise counsel. But here's what happened this past week. As I was going through the book of Proverbs and making notes about, here's what God says about giving wise counsel, here's what God says, some principles about receiving wise counsel, I came up with way too much information to share in one sermon. So tonight is going to be part two of this sermon. I want you back here tonight as we talk about receiving wise counsel. But I divided the sermon up for your benefit so that this morning we're only going to talk about giving wise counsel. Just allow the book of Proverbs to talk about us when we get involved in conversations, when we talk to individuals. And guess what? These principles apply no matter who the person is. It doesn't matter if it's parent to child, child to parent. Doesn't matter if it's somebody in the workplace. Doesn't matter if it's somebody in the neighborhood. Doesn't matter if it's somebody in the church. These principles in the book of Proverbs that have to do with our conversations and in the counsel that we share with each other have to do with every single conversation that we get involved in. What do we need to focus on? What do we need to remember when it comes to sharing wise counsel, when it comes to giving wise counsel? First thing I want us to see this morning is that obviously we've got to keep it biblical. Now I know when you are listening to this sermon this morning, and when you listen to the sermon tonight, because I know you're going to be back here tonight to hear part two of this lesson, I know that as you hear this sermon this morning, you're going to be tempted to think, I hope so-and-so is listening to this. He's talking right to them today. I'm not talking to anybody specifically that I know of today. So if you think I'm talking to somebody today, I'm not thinking what you're thinking. But I want you this morning not to think, you know, so-and-so really needed this sermon. I want us to do what we need to do with every sermon and make personal application. Instead of pointing the finger outward and saying there's some others who need to hear this, I need to first, and I've done it all this week, been pointing the finger here. Say, what do I need to take and apply from this? The first thing we're going to see in the book of Proverbs about us giving wise counsel is that it must be biblical. Does that surprise you? Certainly it shouldn't, but that's the first thing we've got to understand, is it's got to be biblical. No counsel that we should ever give should be against the Lord. One verse that you need to grab in the book of Proverbs is in chapter 21 and verse 30, where the Bible says, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. There's no wisdom, understanding, or counsel that can avail or can succeed against the Lord. Everything that we say to somebody else needs to be biblically based, biblically grounded, and biblically true. Everything we say to somebody else needs to honor the Lord. Not honor us. It needs to make sure we honor the Lord. The Bible talks about the fact that this is not about us. The things that we do in this life are not about us. The responsibility that we have is, how many times in the book of Proverbs do you read, fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord? That's talking about respect. That's talking about awe. That's talking about giving honor to God in all that we do, including in our conversations. In chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That should be our conversations. Our conversation should be such that they honor the Lord and they are a fountain of life to whoever we are talking to, including ourselves. Obviously, when we talk about keeping it biblical, we understand that all conversations we get in, all counsel that we might share, must be true to God's Word. In chapter 13, in verse 13, it says, he who fears the commandments, think about this, he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. Our words that we speak have got to be true to the Word of God. In chapter 22 and verse 21, think about what he says, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth. We need to know the certainty of the words of truth, that's the Bible, in order that you may answer words of truth. We've got to be able to answer words of truth, and the only way we can answer words of truth is to know the words of truth. We've got to spend time inside the Word of God. The best counsel we can give is Bible counsel. I am not a counselor professionally. I am not a certified counselor. Sometimes when people have come and asked, can I come to you for counseling? My answer to them is, the only kind of counseling I give is biblical counseling. I'm not certified. I don't have a particular degree in that area. And so if we sit down and talk in that kind of a conversation, it's all going to be biblical. But it doesn't have to be some preacher doing counseling. That's all of us. Everything we say to others ought to be based upon the Bible. And that's not just in the church. You want to do your friends a favor? You want to do your coworkers and neighbors a favor? When you're involved in conversations with them, quote from the Bible. Share with them something from the book of Proverbs. They will be amazed by your wisdom. They will think you are brilliant. Well, don't steal it. Don't plagiarize and make them think it's yours. But let them know, here's what the Bible says. And let them know that there is an answer for everything that they're going to face right here in the Word of God, but keep it in context. Don't take a verse out of context and say, well, you know, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says that the Lord knows the plans that He has for us and this and that and the other. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 is written to the Jews who were in captivity in Babylon. We need to keep something in context and not just take it out in order to make some kind of a point. But everything we say to others has got to be focused upon the Bible, focused upon God, and should never be solely based upon our own thinking. The best thing that we can share with others is what God's Word says and not our own thoughts. You know chapter 3 and verse 5 probably better than any other text in this book, where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Then it goes on to say, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do you know what the next verse says? You may have memorized those two verses. You know what the next verse says? Do not be wise in your own eyes. We get involved in a conversation with somebody, and the first thing we ought to think is, what does the Bible have to say about this? Instead of, what do I have to think about this? In chapter 29, in verse 25, it says, the fear of man, if I'm focused on what man thinks, that brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Sometimes we have conversations with individuals, and we may wonder, what should I say in this situation? And if you don't know anything else to say, say what the Bible says. Keep it biblical. And when you get involved in something like that, and the last thing I want us to say on this point, and then get into our next point, is we need to spend time praying about what we say. We need to talk to God about things that we might say to somebody else. That verse says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. In chapter 30 and verse 5, it says, He is a shield. God is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. The best thing we can do is to rely upon God. The best thing we can do is to rely upon our knowledge of the Word of God, which demands that we get into the Word of God, that we study the Word of God. Some of you are very good at writing cards to others. And I know that some of you, in writing your cards to others, you have a great practice where you will write some Bible verse inside that card, a card of cheer, a card of comfort to somebody else. And you've made it your practice that it's not just your words of comfort and your words of cheer, but you are writing to them, and here's something that God has to say. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. It's just sharing some source of knowledge and comfort from the Word of God. But as we make sure that in these conversations that we keep it biblical, there are some things in these conversations that we've got to keep in mind. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, here is a critically important thing that we've got to keep in mind when we are engaged in conversations with others, when others come and ask us what we think about something, or we take it upon ourselves to go and talk to somebody else. Something that we've got to keep in mind is that there is more than one side to a story. You might want to underline a couple verses back in chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. It says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. In other words, if I don't know what I'm talking about, but I go ahead and I venture into that and I talk about something that I don't know what I'm talking about, God says it's folly and shame to that person. He who answers a matter before he hears it, before he knows what it's about. That later on in the chapter, down in verse 17, is something you know to be true. The first one, verse 17, the first one to plead his cause seems right. The first person to speak. You notice this when you have children especially, right? When you have children, the first one who comes along, well, it depends on the kid, I guess. Some kids, we know whatever they're saying is not real. But when you have two people coming to you, the first one who pleads his case, that always seems right. Well, of course that seems right. Until, the rest of the verse says, until his neighbor comes and examines him. There is a difference between hearing one side of a situation and hearing the entirety of a conversation. And so we need to realize when we enter into some situation, we may not know the entirety of the situation. So chapter 10 and verse 14 says that the wise person gathers, he stores up knowledge. He wants to know what's going on here, perhaps before he ever ventures into speaking. We don't need to be afraid to say, you know what, I don't know. You know what? I'm not really sure that I need to say anything right now. And realizing that we may not have the entirety of the picture. Something else to keep in mind is that our words have power. Our words have influence. You know where it states in chapter 18 and verse 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say has an amazing influence on somebody else. You may not think that. You may think it's just a simple thing for me to say. It was just a quick conversation. I really didn't think about what I was saying. I didn't realize they were going to take it so seriously. Well, our words have power. And so we need to think about that when we get engaged in a conversation with someone else. In chapter 31 and verse 26 says about that virtuous woman that she opens her mouth with wisdom. That's a pretty good trait, isn't it? To check what I'm going to say, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but to check what I'm going to say and to open our mouth with wisdom, because have you ever noticed that sometimes somebody can take something we say and misunderstand it? Have you ever noticed that? That somebody can misunderstand? Surely not. You speak so clearly. I mean, you enunciate. You speak so openly, nobody could misunderstand what you have to say. You ever had somebody misunderstand you? Ever had somebody misapply something that you had to share with them? We've got to keep in mind we may not know the whole situation. We need to realize that our words have power and influence, but when we get engaged in a conversation, we need to remember that our purpose is ultimately to promote the greatest good that we can. In chapter 12 and verse 18, chapter 12, verse 18 describes two different individuals, two different conversations, two different kinds of people you can talk to. Verse 18 says in the first part, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. You know anybody who talks like that? You know anybody that talks to you like that, like the piercings of a sword? But the last part of the verse says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The tongue of the wise wants to promote the greatest good. That doesn't mean that he holds back what needs to be said. It does not mean that sometimes what he says may not be like the piercings of a sword, but he wants what is best. He wants to promote what is best. In chapter 13 and verse 17, again, a contrast. The wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful messenger brings health. That ought to be our aim. When we get involved in conversations with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our family members, when we get together at Thanksgiving and have those fun conversations around the table, we need to say, what can I say in this situation that will bring about the most good for these individuals? Of course, we might all define good differently, right? Somebody else may define good differently than the way I define good, but the Bible talks about Christians loving one another with an agape love. That agape love seeks what is best for someone else. It puts their needs above our own. And in that situation, that's what needs to be the measurement of what's good. Bringing about what's best for that individual. And we do that by making sure that our mouth, chapter 10 and verse 11, is a well of life. We do that by encouraging each other, by instructing each other, by even correcting each other. When Nathan came along and had a conversation with King David, you think that was an easy conversation for Nathan to have with King David? You think Nathan wanted to be the one to come along and to say to David, "You are the man"? Is that what David needed to hear? It's what David needed to hear. David needed that instruction. He needed that correction for his own good. Were the words of Nathan on that occasion a well of life? Were they bringing life to David's life? Yes, they were giving him an understanding of where he was and what he needed to do in order to be right with his God. That needs to be our approach. That needs to be our motivation. That needs to be our purpose. And we need to recognize that in these conversations, there is, and we know this, but we need to be reminded of it, and the book of Proverbs has it all throughout it. There is no place for deceit in our conversations, in our interactions with others. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, it says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth." Put it away from you. Don't have anything to do with a deceitful mouth or devious lips. This is not a place, not a time for dishonesty. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse, chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "A righteous man hates lying, and there is no place for discord." There's two places in chapter 6 that talk about discord. One of them is in verse 19, where it lists a series of seven things that the Lord hates. Would that get your attention if God listed, "Here's some things that I hate"? Would that get, well, I want to know what's on that list. And the last thing that God puts on that list is one who sows discord among brethren. When we get involved in conversations, it is not our right or our purpose to bring about discord, to sow a wedge of division among others, but especially as God's talking about there within the church. There's no time at all that we ought to get involved in a conversation where we are splitting the church into groups, where we are intentionally trying to bring about discord in a conversation. We need to be mindful that the body of Jesus belongs to Jesus, and we need to do all that we can to promote the health of the body of Christ. And so inside of our conversations, instead of deceit and dishonesty and discord, there needs to be honesty. There needs to be humility. There needs to be a fairness about what we say to others. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, "Truthful lips are established forever." Are there some people that you can trust to tell you the truth all the time? That you just know that they're going to tell you the truth? That's what this proverb is saying. That truthful lips are established forever. You know the people who will tell you the truth. But do you know some other kind of people? Do you know some other individuals that if you ask them something, you're not really sure? You're not really sure what you'll get back. As God's children, we've got to be honest. As God's children, we've got to be humble. As God's children, our words need to be those that are fair, that are just. Other translations in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 8 say that my words are righteousness. We need to make sure the things that are coming out of our mouth are the words that are the right words for that occasion. And then finally on this point, we need to make sure that our motivation, that our approach, and our words and our conversations are saturated with love. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. That's the kind of love we talked about just a minute ago. The kind of love that seeks what is best for someone else, who puts their needs above our own, and in those conversations, our motivation is what's best for them. Our approach is whatever is best for them. Our words that we choose are the words that need to be what is best for them on that occasion. You know, some conversations we have are more important than others. But there are principles within God's Word that show us that, first of all, we've got to keep what we say grounded in God's Word. We've got to keep it biblical. There are some principles we've got to keep in mind that we may not know the whole situation. We need to be mindful of that before we speak. And I know you've been in that situation. I've been in that situation where you get caught up in something and you start talking about some situation and then you learn later, wow, I didn't know what I was talking about because I was talking about one side of this, but I did not realize there was a bigger picture. That's something, that's wisdom. Some of you men one day will be elders in the Lord's church. That's wisdom for you to take into the eldership. That when someone comes to the elders and presents a case to the elders always realize, well, that's, we've heard this side of it. There is perhaps another side of it. And before we take any action, we need to know what the whole picture is here. That's the wisdom that elders need, and it's the wisdom I've seen practiced by this eldership ever since I've been a part of this congregation. It's hard to remember, though, because you can get pulled into a situation, and it sounds right. But the words that we choose, we need to realize have power and have influence, and we need to be promoting that which is the greatest good. As we think about wise counsel and the giving of wise counsel, let me share a couple things with you about keeping on target. As we share wise counsel, here are some things we need to do to keep on target. First thing we need to do is we need to think before we speak. Is that hard? There was some meme on Facebook this past week. It's made its circulation before, and it popped up on several people's feed this week that said, I need a speed bump between my brain and my mouth. Some of us need more than a speed bump. We need to think before we say something. And this is another verse you ought to have underlined in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Other translations say, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Before speaking, think about what am I going to say, and what is the influence, what's the impact, and do I need to say this? Do I really need to say this? Do I need to say this? Think before I speak. And can I encourage you, and we said this a couple months ago, but can I encourage you to avoid those common and trite cliches that sometimes we get involved in saying? Well, you know, all things happen for a reason. No, they don't. That's not a true statement. Everybody says that. We go back to point number one, keep it biblical. That's not a biblical truth. All things don't happen for a reason. Well, God has a reason for everything. We say that. That's not a biblical truth. God doesn't have a reason for everything that happens in our life. Now, can God take everything that happens and perhaps work them for our good? Yes. But is God making these things happen? When somebody dies and somebody says, well, you know, God wanted to take them. God doesn't have that. God doesn't operate that way. So can we take some of these phrases, these cliches that we think are good for a situation, and remove some of them and go back to point number one and say, got to keep it biblical. And now here, keeping it on target, I need to think about what am I going to say before I say it, but then think about how am I going to say it. Not just the words, but how am I going to say it. There is so much in the book of Proverbs about this. Book of Proverbs says that we need to be calm when we speak. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath. The Bible, Proverbs says we need to be gentle. Chapter 15 and verse 4 says a wholesome or a soothing or gentle tongue is a tree of life. We need to be calm, gentle, kind. One of my favorite statements is in chapter 31 and verse 26 about the virtuous woman who on her tongue, you know this verse, on her tongue is the law of kindness. What a statement. What if all of us had on our tongue the law of kindness? That no words could bypass the law of kindness. They couldn't get out of our mouth. Our words need to be calm and gentle and kind and pleasant and gracious. Chapter 22 and verse 11 talks about how grace is on his lips. But you may hear these first things and you may not realize the last thing that's on that list. That you can still be calm and gentle and kind and pleasant and gracious and at the same time be firm. Parents know that. Do parents know that you can? It's hard to be calm and gentle and kind and gracious sometimes, but still be firm. What does Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 talk about? What is it that sharpens iron? Do feathers sharpen iron? You ever notice feather? Does cotton candy sharpen iron? No, what sharpens iron? Iron. Sharpens iron. And there are times where we need to be tough. There are times where we need to say the things that need to be said and can be firm, but our firmness does not negate the first things on that list about how we are saying things in our conversations. Something to keep us on target is don't make this about you. How often do our conversations, how often are they about us? Chapter 25 and verse 27 says, to seek one's own glory, it's not glory. If you seek your own glory, it's not glory. Back in chapter 30 In verse 32, it says, if you have been foolish and exalting yourself, put your hand over your mouth. Don't make it about you. Don't make the conversation about your thoughts. Don't make it about what you think is right. Make it about what does the Bible say. Keep it biblical. Think about the reality that sometimes we go into a conversation and we want to get even. That's not a good motivation for a conversation, is to get even. Because that conversation will be all about us. Make it about what's right. Last thing on this list on keeping it on target is the book of Proverbs teaches us to go to that person directly. And in that conversation, do not share any secrets in that conversation that have come from elsewhere, and don't share any secrets out of that conversation. Read the book of Proverbs and read how many times you read about don't be a tale bearer. Don't be someone who reveals secrets. It's all throughout the book. In chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, the faithful spirit conceals a matter. Just because we know something doesn't mean we need to say it, and or that we have a right to say it. In chapter 25 and verse 9, the Bible says to deal with your neighbor, to deal with your neighbor directly, and do not reveal the secret of another to your neighbor. You're in a conversation with somebody, with your neighbor. Well, don't talk about what somebody else said. Don't talk about what somebody... You talk about your neighbor and deal with that situation. And that applies in all of our conversations. And it isn't... Every one of these principles, you may look at this sermon this morning and say, wow, we've only been in the book of Proverbs. We haven't been anywhere else in the Bible. Guess what? The rest of the Bible corroborates everything that we've seen from the book of Proverbs this morning. Every part, every point that we've made this morning can also be seen over in the New Testament. These aren't just things we see in the book of Proverbs, but here's one book. Here's one book of wisdom that talks to me a lot about my conversations and what I say, the counsel that I might give to others. And so the final thing I want us to see is that when we get involved in these conversations, we just need to keep it simple. We need to keep it simple by guarding what we say. In chapter 21 and verse 23, another good verse for you to have marked in your Bible, it talks about the person, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. You want to keep yourself out of trouble? Guard what you say. But also, not just guard what you say, guard how much you say. Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about how much you say. In chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who is wise restrains his lips. In chapter 11 and verse 12, it says, a man of understanding holds his peace. In chapter 17 and verse 27, it says, he who has knowledge spares his words. In chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. We need to guard what we say. When we get in a conversation, we need to guard how much we say. We need to guard when we say something. There are a couple times, chapter 15 and chapter 25, where it talks about a timely word, a word spoken at the right season, a word spoken at the proper time. There may be times where we don't need to say something, where it may not be the opportune time. It may not be the timely season in order to speak something. But with these things in mind, guarding what we say and how much we say and when we say it. When there is a need, we still have a responsibility to go and to say what needs to be said for that person's good. In this last verse I want us to see this morning, in chapter 28 and verse 23, it says, he who rebukes a man, that's not very nice. Tell somebody what they need to do to change. Tell somebody that they're not doing what's right. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. If you read through the book of Proverbs, and I would challenge you to do it, the book of Proverbs will step on your toes in almost every verse. But here are some principles that have been put in God's Word to help us to govern our relationships, to help us to govern our conversations, help us to govern when I get into a conversation, the things that I say, the counsel, the advice that I might share with somebody else, there are some things that I've got to keep in mind to make sure I keep it biblical, I keep it on target, and I keep it simple. There may be some here this morning say, oh boy, I hope so-and-so was watching online today. I hope they had the volume turned up because they needed to hear this today. I might send them a link to it tomorrow just to make sure they didn't miss it. That's fine and dandy. But this lesson first has to apply to me. Has to apply to each and every one of us. That's the way God's Word works. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. It says, there is no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no counsel that can succeed against the Lord. May God help us to love the Word of God. The book of Proverbs uses the word words 46 times. The book of Proverbs uses the word mouth or tongue or lips 113 times. 113 times you read the word mouth, lips, or tongue. It's got a lot to say about what we say. May God help us to get into this book and allow these principles to saturate our hearts, to saturate our tongues and our mouths in the way that we talk to each other. Are you a Christian this morning? You know, when you turn to the Bible and you see the wisdom that God has for us in the Bible about in all aspects of our lives, the Bible is the only place where we can find God's wisdom, God's counsel, and how we can be saved, and how we can go to heaven. Just as clearly as He outlines these principles for us and how to have conversations with others, He outlines for us the steps we've got to take in order to become a Christian, in order to become saved by the blood of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son, to believe that Jesus came and died upon the cross for our sins, that He shed His blood in order to save us from our sins, that He was buried on the third day, He was raised from that grave. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He did that for you? If you've got that kind of faith, the Bible says that you need to turn away from the sin that put Jesus on the cross. You need to repent of your sins, turn your life in the direction of God, and if you're willing to make up your mind to do that this day, then you can confess with your mouth the faith that is in your heart, just as they did in the New Testament. And this very morning, you can be baptized. This very morning, you can do what every person in the New Testament did in order to become a Christian. When they knew what they had done against the Lord, and they knew they needed to change their life, and they knew that salvation was just a moment away, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, I ask you this morning, why are you waiting? Arise today. Be baptized today. Wash away your sins today. Let God add you to His church. Let Him register and enroll you in heaven. And begin your walk with Him today, with the Lord walking with you, walking according to the counsel and the word that He has given us, trying to serve Him faithfully for the rest of our lives. Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? If we can help you in either one of those regards, then we invite you to come right now as together we stand and sing.